But I want to get into what we're going to, I believe, not we, not I, but what the Lord has shared with me to share with you. And I just, somehow the Holy Spirit is going to tie this whole thing about peace into this. And like I said, I mean, when we were praying this morning, I don't know if anybody else in our prayer circle there just had us, but it was just in me, just this overwhelming peace. It just overwhelmed me. Have you ever been overwhelmed by something where you just can't even control it coming on you? Or, I know when we say that, overwhelmed, a lot of people take that into the negative context. They're overwhelmed by circumstances or overwhelmed by this and that. But it was just, I was so overwhelmed with the peace of God. And I just want y'all to experience that peace. I do. And I believe the Holy Spirit will minister to you in that area today as we get into the Word and sow the seed of the Word into your life this morning. So, pop quiz. Who wasn't here last week? All right, you are exempt from this pop quiz, but the rest of you are accountable. What has to happen for darkness to overcome the light? Thank you. If I had a prize, Lane, you would get it, because you were the first one that I heard or saw him. The light has to go out. Listen, when light is introduced into darkness, the darkness is dispelled. But there's no way, I know how to introduce darkness into a situation. You see, I mean, you can introduce light into a situation, but you can't introduce darkness into a situation. The only way darkness can be introduced is if the light goes out. So last week we talked about that, right? We talked about you being the light of the world, and the only way that darkness can overcome you is if you let that light go out. And we know that light is Jesus on the inside of us, because when we get born again, we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us. That light of Jesus comes to dwell on the inside of us. And that is what people see in us. And that's what people desire. They don't understand it sometimes. What they see something different about us. You know, we're called to be a peculiar people. You know, we want people to look at us with strange eyes. Say, what do they got going on? But I tell you, then we can witness about the light on the inside of us. Amen? But the cool thing is, it's totally up to you whether your light goes out or not. You know, there's a lot of things that come against us in our lives that, you know, we say we have no control over, right? I mean, I don't think you can control who you're born to, who your parents are. These are some things that we don't control. But the cool thing is you are totally in control of whether your light goes out or not. And what do I mean by that? I just mean the light of Jesus on the inside of you. The light that can overcome any darkness in your life. No, I don't care what it is. No matter, I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if it's mental. I don't care if it's spiritual. That the light can overcome any darkness that you can think of. And it's up to you whether that light goes out or not. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And let me give you scripture for this. You're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, there are things out of my control that come into my life that I can't do anything with. Well, maybe you can. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 reads like this out of the King James. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. It's your choice. God's saying, I've laid them here before you. Life and death. Which one you want? I saw a video of an infant. They were in a booster seat. Yep, that thing. It's been a while, okay? I haven't been there in a while. A booster seat. And they were taking a video of this child. And you couldn't see the person, but they would offer a piece of broccoli on a fork. And that child, turn that face up. And then you see this other hand come in with a cookie, and everybody's like, ah. Yeah. Then they bring the broccoli again. Oh, no. And then bring the cookie. Yeah. There's the power of choice. When you have life or death laid before you, which one are you going to choose? You want the broccoli or you want the cookie? You're going to take the cookie every time. I hope you take life every time. Every time. It's saying He's laid it before us. And He wants us to choose. Do you know that we ought not fear physical death? Is everybody aware of that? But do you know that is probably, if not the most widely used fear, I believe, in the enemy's arsenal is because, why do we perish? A lack of knowledge, right? If we don't have the knowledge that we ought not fear death, then He is going to use that weapon against us every time. And I know people, they won't go out of their house because of the fear of what might happen to them out there. There are people like that. I mean, you may know some. Fear of death. But why do we not have to have fear of death? Because Jesus defeated death for us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I believe someone's going to get set free today of some things. I know we say that every week, but I believe it every week. I believe the Word of God can change you, transform you, complete you, pick you up when you've fallen down, fill in the gaps, make you whole, make you sound. I'm going to start singing in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, are you there? And I'll be reading out of King James. I think I'll be King James, maybe Amplified mixed in there, but verse 45. Why? Why do we not have to fear death? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And I'll just give you a heads up. They're talking about Jesus there. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are not to fear death. Jesus has conquered death. He has given us the victory. Death no longer has the sting to it. We don't have to fear it. The Word says in 2 Corinthians that when we're absent from the body in physical death, we are immediately present with the Lord. When we die, when this earth suit falls to the ground, our eternal soul and spirit go to be with Jesus. And what a precious place that is. What a wonderful thing that is. So we don't have to fear it. He conquered death and the grave. He's given us keys to the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? We know from the Word it's peace, joy, and righteousness. Peace. I'm telling you. Peace is the word of the day. Peace is the word of the day today. Somebody in here needs some serious peace in their life. And you're getting it. You're getting it. So here's the thing. And this is the point I was making by talking about all that death stuff. If we're not to fear death, right? If we're not to fear death, why do we fear life? Think about that for a minute. Why do we fear life? What does he mean by that? Fear in life. If you believe Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly, we know that from the Word, right? Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, then why are we so nervous about everything going on in our life? Why? Why are we anxious? Why are we fearful? If we truly believe that Jesus died, he conquered death, right? Let's settle that right now. He conquered death. We have nothing to fear in death. We have to get the revelation it's better to be with Jesus. But I have things I got to get done here on this earth. This is my paraphrase. And I would say the same for you. Oh, it'd be better to be with Jesus, but he's got some stuff down here on this earth that he wants you to finish before he receives you home. Amen? But if Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, why are we fearful of the things of life? Why are we fearful? Are my kids living right? Is that place, they're going to school, the right place? What's happening with my parents in their older age? What if there's a shooting here? Is my boss upset with me? Why doesn't my spouse like me? Why doesn't the dog like me? I mean, some people worry about these things, y'all. My clothes don't fit. I don't make enough money. My life just sucks. I'm here to tell you it doesn't. It doesn't. Because you are a child of God. And Jesus died, shed his blood for you. He endured the cross, where all of sin throughout all time was put on him. All sin, before, present, and even future sin, he received in his body on the cross for us. So that we could have life. And life more abundantly. So why? Why do we worry about those things? There is a rest for us as born-again believers that we can enter into here in this earth, not in the sweet by and by. Yes, that's going to be a place of rest. I believe a wonderful place, but we can have that rest here and now. We can have it. It's ours. You have the eternal spirit living on the inside of you to help you navigate through all these things called life. And listen, they're not a part of life. They are life. All the trials, tribulations, all the things that we go through, they are life. But we don't have to succumb to the despair of them, because we have the greater one living on the inside of us. And we can be in peace when all these things, the storm is raging around us. We can be asleep in the back of the boat. At peace. At peace. Because we have an advocate. And it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the desires of our hearts. I mean, I would think a desire of your heart is to be in peace in your life, to not be anxious, to not give in to all these demands in your life that cause turmoil, cause anxiety, right? But here's the key. You want the key? You want to open the door? This is a big one. I don't know if you can carry this key, it's so heavy. The closer we are in relationship to God, then the closer our heart lines up with His, and our desires become His desires. Or I could say, His desires become our desires. But it takes relationship. It takes that closeness, that one with God. And we were talking about it in class this morning. You know, how do you get to know someone? I mean, some people work with their coworkers. They may be in a cubicle beside them for 20 years, and they don't know the first thing about them. You know, or you may be on the production line with the same guy you've been working with for 10 years, but you may not know anything about him. How do you get to know people? By speaking with them, talking to them, spending time with them. But really, is it spending time with them? Because, you know... All right, we're doing the art of marriage, so everything seems to drift towards marriages. So some people can be married for 50 years, but not know one another. I'm not speaking to anybody here. There's only one couple, I think, that's been married more than several. All right, I'm spreading my... No. Where was I? So, some people can be married their entire life but not know their spouse. I mean, they spend every day with them, right? I mean, they're there every day with them, but they may not know. But it takes communication, talking to one another, expressing their feelings, their thoughts to one another. And it's a two-way conversation. I mean, there may be... marriage is where it's a one-way conversation. But it's got to be a two-way conversation. And that's what God wants with us. You know, He created the institution of marriage. And I believe He created it out of an innate thing within Himself. You know, He wanted that communication, that intimacy with one another. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to be that intimate with Him. Like a husband and a wife. It's relationship. That closeness in relationship. And it's communication. Right? It's more than just spending time with someone. It's communicating with them as well. So, when we have closeness with God, His desires become our desires, or our desires become His desires. And then His answer is always yes and amen. Do y'all see that? You see, it's man's fallen nature to always want to blame someone else. It's part of our fallen nature. We want to blame someone else. It started in the garden, right? Adam blamed the woman. And God, really. He said, "That woman that you gave me, God." So he shifted the blame to two people. And then the woman, of course, said, well, she blamed the serpent, right? It was that serpent, that snake that deceived me. They weren't accountable for their own actions. We want to blame everyone but ourselves, and things aren't going our way. And the world calls this blame shifting, and it's as old as time itself. When God created, we talked about God creating, right? He stepped into the scene, and light became. And then it started. Blame shifting. The truth is, it usually comes down to our choices, and I'll circle back to making that choice. Life and death. He's setting life and death before us. And we're to choose life. We're to choose life. Just look back in your mind's eye over your life and think about the choices that you've made in your life that have affected your destiny. Or that has affected where you are today. I'm sure there are some that are good and some that are bad. Some you wish you could do over. Some you said, yeah, I got it going on right there. That was the right thing to do. We all have made choices in our life that have brought us to this place in our life. Because He has sat before us these decisions that we have to make. But He says, choose life. He says, choose life. Well, how do we choose life? How do we choose life? Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. This is all going to make sense in just a minute. You ever read one of those novels where nothing makes sense until the very end? Well, hopefully the Holy Spirit is imparting some things to you as we go, but we're going to tie it all in together. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. How do we choose life? God has placed death and life before us. How do we choose life? Well, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 says, and this is out of the Amplified, sorry. A man's moral self shall be filled and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. The power of the tongue is how we choose life. We choose life with our words. I'm telling you, you can speak to your own body. You can be speaking words of life to your body, or you can be speaking words of death. You get a bad report from the doctor, do you repeat that bad report? Or do you stand on the Word of God and what the Word of God says and repeat that? We make choices that lead to life by speaking them out of our mouths. And you'll be the light of the world when people hear those words coming out of your mouth, words of life, and they'll recognize the light by the words you speak. They'll recognize the light within you by the words you speak. So when people come up to you and complain about all this stuff that's going on in their life, do you sit there and agree with them? Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, yeah, sister. I know. I know what you're talking about. That's hard. Or do you wait, listen? And I'm telling you, if you'll wait and listen, I believe the Holy Spirit will drop something into your spirit to speak out of your mouth that'll completely transform that whole situation. Because you'll be speaking words of life. Speaking words of life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to wrap this up early today. So what are you speaking? What words are you speaking that are words of life? Or are the words you speak words of death? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says out of the Amplified, "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever." Everybody say ever. Ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. My. I got to read that again. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. I'm telling you, every occasion, every need, he can speak right to that need, right to that occasion. Just like that person that comes up to you and wants to complain, and you listen and you hear from God, he will speak to that specific occasion. And he'll do it every time. If you'll let him, he'll do it every time. Amen? But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace to those who hear it. That is the light inside of you. That is the light inside of you. That people need. Heck, I'd say we even need it ourselves. Maybe you need to look inside yourself sometimes. And see the light. So, what choices have we made? What choices have we made in our life? Have they been choices of life, or have they been choices of death? Because they're there all the time. Our life is made up of choices. And we can choose life or death. We can choose to let the light go out from inside of us, or we can choose to let that light burn bright. What choice are we going to make? And it's a daily choice. It's a daily choice. I'm not talking, let the light go out and you're doomed to hell. I'm not saying that. It's a daily choice of whether we let our light go out or not. And we have to choose daily, to let our light burn bright for all to see. Because we are the hope of this world. That old saying, right? You might be the only Bible somebody reads. I pray it ain't in Greek or Hebrew, but it's in the language that they speak. And we need to be speaking it right? Faith speaks. So when we get that bad report, when we hear bad news, when, you know, a loved one comes and gives us bad news, what are we speaking? What are we sharing? What are we saying to them? They need what's inside of us. They're coming to us. They need what's inside of us. What's coming out of you? What you're putting in, right? So you got to put the word in. So in those situations, the word comes out. Right? Not your feelings, not your emotions, but the word of God, the very thing that gives life, comes out of you through your mouth and speaks life, light. Peace. Joy and righteousness. These are the things of the kingdom. And I dare say there are many here today that don't have peace. You just don't. For whatever reason. There is no peace in your life. I would encourage you, if that is you, to spend time with the Father. Read your word. Get on your knees, not literally, and pray. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got an advantage over some people. Because when you don't know how you ought to pray, you can pray in the Holy Spirit. And man, it'll make a difference. You'll have a sense of peace. Spend time with the Father. Spend time with the Father. Throughout your week, be intentional about setting time aside. I don't care when it is. Morning time, evening time, lunch time. Be intentional about spending time with the Father. Whether that's in conversation, in prayer, in reading His Word, praying in tongues, whatever it may be intentional about it. Your intentionality will pay off. It will pay off. I'm telling you, if you will be intentional about it and you haven't experienced peace in an area of your life, you watch. You watch how that peace will just show up, overtake you, minister to you. Jesus gave us His peace. He gave it to us. It's ours. It's ours. Don't let the things of this world steal your peace. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. The world says stress is a killer. I believe it. I believe it. Stress can manifest itself in physical areas of your body that we don't even know of. It can manifest as physical problems. A mental state of stress can manifest in your physical body. Don't let it. Speak to it. Speak to it. Spend time with the Father. Let His peace that passes all understanding come upon you, overtake you. Walk in it. Walk in it. Well, I believe that that's where the Lord wanted to encourage us in today. And as we prayed in the beginning, I believe that you have ears to hear and that you're taking this home with you. and you're going to chew on it. You're not going to let it go. Don't let this word of peace go. Don't let it go. Talk to God about it. Let Him reveal some things about it. Because when you walk in that peace, when you have that peace, I'm telling you, it is all over you, and people can sense that. Because the world is in turmoil, and they can easily identify someone that is walking in peace. And they'll want to know how. How? How can you be walking in peace with all this turmoil going on around you? It'll be a testimony. Angie?
I just wanted to share this with you. Being Veterans Day, this is a great testimony to peace. My son, Andrew, which last time I was up here, I think I talked about Andrew. He's also my firstborn. He was 18 and in the Army and wasn't there very long, and Iraq happened and he had to go to war. So that's very hard on Mom to see your son go to war. And then on top of that, you've got all your friends and some of your family that are saying, oh my, what are you going to do? Oh, he's going to be gone. What are you going to do over there fighting? And so I had to get that time with God. I had to get alone with God, and I had to, in my relationship with the Lord, I had to just make that time not to let fear enter in. Because fear was trying its best to get a grip on me. And I prayed a lot. And I did a lot of leaning on the Lord, especially when those times where people would come to me and say, oh, have you heard from Andrew? Have you heard this? Have you heard that? And the Lord gave me a vision, and it was so powerful. I've shared it with some of you here, but it was like there was this huge hand. And Andrew was sitting right in the palm of that hand. And it was humongous. And Andrew had his hands out like this, and he was looking up. And I said, Lord, who's covering him? In my heart, I was like, oh, he's got to be covered. He's got to be shielded. And this giant hand came down on top of him. So moms, dads, anybody here that doesn't have that peace in your heart about any circumstance you're going through, pray. God will show you. Yeah. It might not be a vision. It might be a person that comes to you and shares with you. It could be anything. But you can have that peace too. Amen. Every one of you can have that peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. And that scripture he quoted today in Ephesians 4:29 was my scripture. I had it on my mirror. I had it everywhere because I wasn't going to say anything that wasn't uplifting. And every time anybody asked me, then they say exactly what he said. Why are you so, you're not upset? I was like, no. God showed me a vision of my son, and he's covered. Amen. By him. Amen. So I have no reason to be worried or upset. My walk with the Lord is what got me there. Yeah. I can't say I've been there every single time and not fallen apart. But that time in my life, I didn't fall apart. I let the Lord give me that peace.
Amen. Thank you, Angie. Hallelujah. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's always encouraging to hear when someone else has gone through something and come out on the victory side. Amen. Anyone else? Judy?
In Isaiah 26:3, it says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. And that's what you did, but
yes. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Well, glory.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Is now the shouting time? We do. We have the victory. Amen. You have peace. It is yours. I'm telling you, it is yours. And like Angie was saying, it may not come in a vision, or it may come with someone coming alongside you and sharing something. It may come in a dream like Dusty. I'll share that real quick. Dusty was having some trouble with his Corvette. Oh, my. Imagine that. I'd like to have that trouble. No. I'm just playing. Having some trouble. One of his lights wouldn't go operate right. He does switch the motor out in it, and still he's got one that's up and working and one that don't want to work or works sometime. And it was frustrating him. You know, I mean, let's just transfer this to any frustration you may have going on in your life right now, okay? It may not be a headlight going up and down when it ain't supposed to. But God spoke to him in a dream. It was frustrating. For how long did you deal with that?
Months.
God spoke to him in a dream and showed him exactly what to do to fix that problem. And it was nothing that Dusty would have thought on of his own, right? I mean, he's not a mechanic by trade. Trust me, he knows a lot and does a lot, but not an auto mechanic by trade. God showed up in a dream and showed him exactly what to do to get that thing to work. I'm telling you, he'll do the same thing for you. No matter what your frustration is right now in your life that you can't get a grasp on, God will show you. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Right? Amen. If you spend time with him, pray in the Holy Ghost, he'll show you mysteries. He'll reveal mysteries to you. So whatever that frustration is right now in your life, you believe that God will show you how to overcome that frustration. It may not be in a dream or a vision. It may be someone sharing a word with you. It may be something that you hear on, I don't know, radio, TV, YouTube, whatever. Social media. That's the good thing about social media. It shares good ideas sometimes, right? We can take those good ideas, although if you're my wife and you get on Pinterest, she sees too many good ideas. Anyways, I love y'all. I do. I only want the best for you. I want God moving in your life. I want you to submit to God and let him just share his desires and they become your desires. And I want you to walk in victory in your life. I want you to have peace. I want you to have that peace. Because when you're in peace, then the body is healthy. And when the body is healthy, right, the church is healthy. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
When you're healthy, the church is healthy. When the church is healthy, it's a more powerful witness to the world. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for this day. We just commit this day to you. We commit all the words that have been shared and spoken today and believe that they'll be sealed to us so that the enemy cannot steal them from us. And Lord, I believe that even we may have been talking about something completely different, but people are receiving from you the word that you would have for them to have the victory in their life, to experience that peace, your peace in their life. And as we walk in this area, Lord, we just take it out. We take it out. We are your ambassadors, your representatives in this earth. And we want to represent you well. And we believe that peace is part of what your word says the kingdom is. So we want to represent the kingdom well and be in peace and let everyone see that. So we thank you, we love you, we honor you, and it's in your son, your precious son's name, we say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.